Good morning. It's lovely to be with you here at Crawley and on the internet, on the web, in our lockdown time and in our series together over this Easter period. I want to talk to you today from a piece of the Bible called the first book of Peter, and it's chapter 1. And my title for a few minutes is Life Beyond the 70 Years. I wonder if I were to ask you, what would you think would be the most important message for the moment? What is there that you would need to hear and that would be crucial to your life at this stage? Hoping that we're near the end of our lockdown and our pandemic stuff. But what do you think is crucial to hear and for us to share together? Maybe it's how to cope with the end of this, how to grit your teeth and hang in there till the end of this pandemic. Maybe it's to think about what the new future might look like in terms of your family or your job or our society. Maybe it could be, how do I not kill my kids now that they've hopefully gone back to school? How do you get your kids the best GCSE grades? What do you have to buy the teacher so that the teacher's given wonderful grades in this year's exams? And sorry, teachers, I know that wouldn't impact you or impact your decision at all. Now, these might be important issues, especially the ones about not killing your kids. They're relevant. They're pressing issues, but actually, they're not the most important. As much as it feels like we've been in lockdown for about 25 years, it will pass. But what happens to you, what happens to me, what happens to us beyond the 70 years is what really does matter. Someone once said this: the world is a bridge. The wise man will pass over it, but he won't build his house upon it. The world that we have, the 70 years or 80 years or 90 years if you're fortunate, is not all there is to life. The world is a bridge. The wise man passes over it and he doesn't build his house upon it. As you listen today on the internet, maybe this is my one chance to talk to you. Maybe you will never meet in the flesh, as it were, but maybe we can share these moments together. And so I want to communicate to you and talk to you about what I believe honestly and genuinely is the most important message that Easter could ever bring to your heart and to mine. Easter's got two messages: the message of death and the message of resurrection. And life is like that too. It too has two messages. One is about death and the other is about eternal life. Our culture likes to ignore death. It pretends it doesn't exist. It disguises it. It calls it passing away. Or we talk about people who've died as being the departed, or we disguise it by humour, and I'm going to give my age away now. Do you remember the parrot sketch? Do you remember shuffling off this mortal coil? Do you remember pushing up the daisies? That was Monty Python. Actually, shuffling off this mortal coil doesn't come from Monty Python. It comes from Shakespeare's Hamlet. And I know that because Google told me, not because I've read Hamlet, but there you go. But it's not something we like to discuss or face. And maybe the pandemic has actually, in one sense, done us a favour because it's forcing us to think about some of life and death issues, some of the biggest issues, some of the most important issues. And the Easter message is a life and death message. It's an eternal life message. We're born, we're educated, we pick our profession, we find our partner, maybe we have kids, we acquire stuff, then we spend years decluttering and trying to get rid of it. We save up, we have our holidays, me too, plan them, looking forward to them, absolutely. We retire, and eventually we die. Is that it? Is that all that actually life has to offer us? Is that the ultimate? Is that the only thing we can look forward to? Is that our only hope? The story is told of the Nobel Prize-winning Russian novelist Alexander Solzhenitsyn. And he was imprisoned in Russia in a gulag by Stalin. And the story goes that one day, slaving away in sub-zero temperatures, he finally reached the end of his endurance. Discarding his shovel, he slumped onto a bench and waited for a guard to beat him to death. He'd seen it happen to others and was waiting for the first blow to fall. Before this could happen, an emaciated fellow prisoner approached Solzhenitsyn silently. Without a word of explanation, the prisoner scratched the sign of the cross in the mud and scurried away. And Solzhenitsyn stared at these two lines scratched in the dirt. The message of the cross began to converse with his sense of despair. In that moment, he knew there was something greater than the Soviet Union. He knew that all the hope of mankind was represented in that simple cross. And through the power of the cross, anything was possible. Picking up his shovel, Solzhenitsyn slowly went back to work. Easter, the message of Jesus, the message of the cross, is a message of hope, even in a Russian gulag. Even in the midst of difficulty, even in the midst of a pandemic, even in the midst of some of you, as you listen today, who have encountered serious loss and real pain, and I don't diminish that in any sense at all. But the message of Easter is the message of hope in the midst of difficulty. Lots of people in our country in the pandemic of living in cities, looking at the busyness of the cities and the commute and the need now not necessarily to be in the office 900 hours a week, thinking, why don't we get away to the country? Why don't we buy somewhere in the Cotswolds? Why don't we escape? It's understandable. It's a time to evaluate, a time to change the way we live our lives, maybe. But it's not the ultimate answer. It isn't the ultimate change. The ultimate is to have a daily relationship with God who loves you, where the peace of God can fill your heart, where forgiveness can enter your life, and where you can know that you have an eternal home with a Father who loves you. You see, we all long to be at home. We all long to find that permanent, safe, secure place. The pandemic makes us think about life and death issues, the big stuff, and it's good for us to think about it. Sometimes we live our lives like an Easter egg. And oh, may you, I am a chocolate lover. Possibly with the angle of the camera, you can't see that at the moment. Maybe you can. But you know, when you get that egg, you don't just spend your time getting through the paper and thinking, oh, what a lovely colour it is and how shiny the colour is. You want to get into the egg because the egg is the point. Let's make sure with life that we don't just end up messing around with the wrapping paper and that we find the egg. It's time to find that. God has an offer for you. God has a gift at Easter. It's called life. The life that you and I have now, the 70 or 80 years here, that's the wrapping paper, guys. It's beautiful, but it's not the substance. There is more. There is something greater inside that God has for you and I, and he intends for us to live in it and experience it. The most expensive egg ever in the world, a Fabergé egg, a Russian egg, sold in 2014 for $33 million. Is that the most valuable Easter gift ever? No, it's not. It's not because God's gift, God's offer, God's Easter present is called eternal life. Far more valuable than an egg, far more valuable than any natural gift. That is what Easter is all about. God has a better way for us to live, and he has an eternal home for us in heaven. One of Jesus' followers, a man called Peter, writes a letter to people going through a tough time. He's writing from Rome. The people, the Christians that he writes to, are suffering persecution, suffering great difficulty. It's going to get worse. And this is what he writes in chapter 1 of his letter, 1 Peter, chapter 1 and verse 17 to 18. He writes, "For you know that your lives were ransomed once and for all from the empty and futile way of life handed down from generation to generation. It was not a ransom payment of silver and gold, which eventually perishes, but of the precious blood of Christ, who like a spotless, unblemished lamb was sacrificed for us." The Bible's quite stark, isn't it? Doesn't pull its punches. It wants us to be clear about God's message to us. It's not very PC, I'm afraid. So it describes the life that you and I can live as, quote, empty and futile. Now, in the midst of this pandemic, a lot of us can recognize times that have felt possibly empty and futile. And if you've been shielding for month after month, you can get that. Same old thing, day after day. My dad has been locked down pretty much for like 13 months. And he says to me sometimes on the phone, what day is it? And I go, I don't know, no idea. Easy for life to be like that. It's easy for us to chase after the things of life that promise us happiness and peace and so on. You know, the stuff, the latest technology, the promotion, the job, the bigger house, all those, the money, all that stuff. But the Bible says it's empty and futile. There's no ultimate peace or satisfaction here in that stuff. There's just the craving and just the appetite and the desire. And the word is summed up by one word. Sums up our culture. Sums up our empty, futile culture. And the word is more. The answer's always more. But it doesn't work. More is never enough. These things don't deliver. That's why one of the famous philosophers of the age, Jean-Paul Sartre, describes the sickness of being human. But actually, you might be offended by that. You might stand there and say to me, as lots of people might say, actually, my life's not empty. My life's not futile. I've got family, I've got friends, I've got relationship, I've got a nice home. Actually, life is pretty good. And so it is. And actually, this used to bother me, even as a Christian, even as a Christian minister, thinking, actually, people's lives are all right. They don't need God. But suddenly I started to understand, and I understand when I went through a difficult time myself of grief when my first wife died, I understood that actually when the Bible talks about life being empty and futile, it's empty and futile if all we have is the 70 or 80 years here. What's the purpose to that? Because you acquire all this stuff, you develop all these relationships, and you get to the end of that 70 or 80 years, and it finishes, and then what? There's nothing. That's why the Bible describes it as empty and futile. But the message of Easter is that there is more. The message of this little text is that there is hope today for you and for me. The text says that we have been ransomed, that we have been rescued from this empty and futile life, and rescued to a life that doesn't just come to an end, but the life that is eternal with love, joy, peace, wholeness. Actually, the things that really count. A life in heaven with a God who is our Father, who loves us and cares for us. A full and abundant life. Bertrand Russell, the atheistic philosopher, says this: We stand on the shore of an ocean, crying to the night and to emptiness. Sometimes a voice answers out of the darkness, but it is a voice of drowning. And in a moment, the silence returns. The world seems to me quite dreadful. The unhappiness of most people is very great. That's the thinking of one of the greatest philosophers of our age, the Sartre, the sickness of humanity. But Easter says there is more. Easter says there is hope. There is a God who loves you, a God whose Easter offer, whose Easter gift is eternal life. Now, I'm old enough and ugly enough to remember the first million-pound footballer, Trevor Francis. Trevor Francis moved from Birmingham City to Nottingham Forest for £1 million. Now, Francis was willing to be transferred and start a new life with Forest. If you like, he was rescued from Birmingham City, sorry, Birmingham City fans, and was transferred to Nottingham Forest. And if you remember Nottingham Forest in those days, they did well. They won the European Cup. But he had to accept the transfer. He had to accept the shift and the move, and he had to be bought with a price. Second half of that little text that I read says that there is someone who has paid for my life and for your life. Someone who's paid for a transfer. Someone who has bought, if you like, a ticket for a brand new life. That text says it was not a ransom payment of silver and gold, which eventually perishes, but the precious blood of Christ, who like a spotless, unblemished lamb was sacrificed for us. You and I are valuable to God. When the Bible talks about that precious blood of Jesus, it's a way of talking about the cross at Easter. We were expensive. Our ransom, our transfer, our price was high, and it was paid because the love of God for you and for me is so great. So, so great. But just like Francis, we have to be willing to accept the transfer, to accept the price, to accept the gift that is actually offered to us. Let's be clear. God's offer this Easter to you and to me is a new eternal life with him. Now, I'm not saying that accepting God's gift that all your problems will disappear. I'm not saying to you, you will suddenly get up the vaccine list and you'll be done tomorrow. I'm not saying that all your numbers will come up on the lottery. I'm not saying any of that stuff. But I'm saying that you will have a hope. I'm saying that you will have a certainty of eternal life with a Father who loves you. Have a think about your life. What do you want? There's a choice to be made. 70 or 80 years, 90 years maybe if you do well, or the gift of eternal life. The choice is yours. The transfer is paid for, but the choice is yours. A simple word to God today, accepting his Easter gift of forgiveness and eternal life, that simple acceptance, that simple yes is called prayer. And you can do it right now. Give me 10 more seconds. Close your eyes, and I ask you and encourage you and beg you to pray and accept God's Easter gift of forgiveness and eternal life. Let's pray. Father God, thank you that your love for us is so extreme. Thank you that the cross tells us that the price for our eternal life has been paid. Thank you that there is a new life for each of us. And if today, as you listen, that you want that, just pray that little prayer that just says, Father God, I accept today your gift of forgiveness and eternal life. Prayer doesn't have to be long, dramatic, or sophisticated, just real. And if you pray that today, God gives you the gift of eternal life. God gives you hope and a future. And he promises to love you and to take you to a place of love and joy and peace and wholeness. It's called heaven, and it's for eternal life. I pray that you will think, I pray you'll chew on this, and I pray you'll accept God's Easter gift in Jesus' name. Amen.